Can I ax you a question? Are you getting tired of your sword? What? Unacceptable! But if you are, it's time for the inferior yet still fucking awesome ax! You'll be ready to kick some ax when you're wielding one of these double-edged weapons of ax destruction! We're not talking about your grandma's axe, although your grandma does have a pretty sweet axe for an old lady. What? What the fuck is that? You don't need a saxophone, you need an axophone! Think you can't handle a great axe? Relax! The battle axe and the hand axe are both excellent choices. Grab one and shift into maximum overdrive! Skinamax? More like Skinnax!
Ooh, look at the tits on that axe!
Who cares about anti-vaxxers? The bigger problem is anti-axers!
Hey, I don't like your axe!
Get out of here!
Ow, my thorax!
So come on down to the Axe Shack! Right now, you can get a battle axe for only 20 sacks, 90 sacks. Sales axe included! How do we keep our prices so low? That's none of your beeswax!
The Axe Shack is not responsible for accidents, axe of God, or shark attacks. No substitutions, axe changes, or refunds. Please consult your doctor to see if an axe is right for you, and they'll probably recommend a sword, because a sword is still the fucking best.
Welcome to Pork Fried Dice, a podcast in which a group of sometimes funny, usually awkward, perpetually sexy people play Dungeons & Dragons together, featuring Jose as Gorin, Katie as Will, Greg as Lank, and Eric as Nick and as Dungeon Master. Hold on to your haversacks. Let's roll!
Do I sound normal? Is my microphone okay?
Yeah, you sound in the great. Right Everybody thing? sounds
cool.
Just kissing. Sounds like they're kissing.
Sounds like we're making out with the gilfs.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Previously on Making Out with the Gilfs, also known as Pork Fried Dice. The group of people came out of the house as it fell down around them, and they encountered Strahd von Zarovich, a nasty-ass vampire who sicked lots of animals on you and killed one dude and carried some lady away. But then two more people showed up. One popped out of the ground, the other one rappelled down from a building. That didn't happen.
That didn't happen. You can just make it up, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, let's go, yeah.
Exactly.
I made it.
You all killed Strahd von Zarovich.
Yes!
And had a big orgy in the middle of the street.
So much initiative was rolled.
Strahd eventually left, and you guys met in a nearby tavern a gentleman by the name of Ismark, who was asking you for some help in escorting his sister, who seems to be a target of Strahd, to a nearby town called Valaki. So you're making your way to his house. It's the middle of the night. He offered to put you up for the night before embarking on the quest that he set forth for you. At the end of the episode, you got up to the house. It looked to be a little bit worse for wear, but you were promised, you know, safe refuge there. So that was where we left off. You were outside looking up at this dark, foreboding mansion.
Are we supposed to talk now or something?
It's up to you. Would Will be talking right now?
I think I was saying something like, I don't want to stay here. This looks shitty and terrible, and like Strahd was here with his wolf dogs.
Well, do you have any better options?
No. I think we already reached that conclusion, too, so...
Okay. Well, let's rehash it out, Will. You brought it up again.
I'm just saying. That's what you asked if I was saying anything. I think that that's what I said. I think that's it.
Great. So, I guess we should probably knock then, huh?
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Unlike the last house. Well, we knocked on the last house.
We did.
A little.
Yes. We'll see if we have to break and enter into this one. Lank, you got your crowbar?
Ready and willing.
Good. Glad your crowbar's willing.
Yeah, let's do it!
That's the crowbar.
As Lank will travel.
All right, well, I think Nick would stride up and knock on the door. Hello?
Did you forget that you were the DM?
Time stands still as they wait for a reply.
This call and response is hard by yourself.
And suddenly you do hear some movement behind the door. You hear a voice call out, "Who is it?" Says,
"Bunch of strangers." Don't let us in.
It's the guys from the bar.
Who? What are you talking about? This is a female voice. This is not the voice of Ismark.
We know Ismark.
Oh, really? Says the voice. But it's more like,
oh, really?
Yeah, he informed us we could spend the night here.
Right. And he didn't tell me this why?
Lady, don't ask me questions I audibly don't have the answer to.
And
I don't know why he wouldn't tell you.
Is he there?
I don't know. I just... One second.
She doesn't know. He will turns to Nick and Gort. She doesn't know if he's there? What?
Well, it is a pretty big house. He may be, like, in another room.
Ismark! Ismark! What?
You hear some more footsteps from inside.
What is it? Do you know, did you bring people to our house? Oh, yes, yes, let them in!
And you hear the sound of, like, three bolts being pulled back and a chain, and the door opens, and Ismark is standing there, and he says, come in, I'm so sorry! And next to him is a young woman. She has auburn hair, and she eyes you very suspiciously. And she says, why didn't you tell me people were coming? She's like, oh, I'm sorry, he says. I forgot. I was busy preparing rooms for them. She says, rooms? He says, yes. I've asked them to do what I've been saying we should do. And she says, okay. And she turns to you all and she says, I'm sorry for such ill hospitality. I don't know how much Ismark's told you, but we've had less than pleasant visitors here as of late. So... Needless to say, I'm a bit distrustful of anybody coming to the door, pretty much for any reason. I do apologize.
Do a lot of people come to your door, besides Strahd?
No. That's pretty much it. I think that would cut it, though, don't you?
Will takes a step back from the building and is gesturing at the fire marks. You said there were scorch marks on the outside of the house?
Yeah.
I think?
Mm-hmm.
And is like, what is that?
Oh, well, he doesn't come alone, usually. He has his, you know, usual retinue of buddies, you know, wolves, zombies, the like.
Fire people? What are the what's the fire? What is this? I mean, is this fire?
Oh, yeah, sometimes he sets them on the house, trying to burn it down or put a hole in it. I'm not sure.
Sets what on the house?
His zombies, his minions.
Why are there scorch? Am I out of character? Sorry. Am I missing something? Why are there scorch marks?
Oh, he sometimes sends them with torches.
Zombies with torches?
Yes.
This is the best day I've ever had.
It's pleasant. It's certainly pleasant.
He
please
does
come in.
He as the sort of person who likes to mix and match.
Bats, rats, wolves, zombies. Holy shit.
Please.
Oh, mix a little fire and it's a party.
But please, come in. Let's close the door. And she gestures you in inside the house, and Ismark beckons you in as well.
Is there, like, a role for, like, seeing if this lady is, if this is a trap. This is Will, okay? This is Will. Will's thoughts of, like, we just came to this crazy village. There was a crazy ghost house. Those kids turned out to be ghosts. Now this guy's like, come to our house. And Will's like, all of these houses probably suck. What's going on here? Is there a way to, like, roll
insight. For
insight? There we go. Just to see if she genuinely seems scared or, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, I rolled a 19. I don't even know what my insight is. 19 plus 1, 20.
Oh. Well, she does seem pretty scared. She barely can keep her eyes on you with the door open. She's constantly looking outside. Basically, her eyes keep darting out to the darkness beyond you. She seems pretty agitated. Yeah, she seems scared. Not, like, scared of you, but just, like, very nervous.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does everybody go in?
Yeah, I'm going in.
I'm on my way in.
Nick goes in. Does Will go in?
He'll be the last one in.
Got it. And you go in, and Ismark shuts the door behind you, and just like you heard from the outside, he throws 3 bolts and a couple chains across the door. Pretty heavy-duty chains, not your usual little chains you see on a lot of doors. And he turns to you all and he says, thank you so much for coming. I, like I said, you can stay here. I've readied rooms for you all. And you look around, the house seems relatively nice. Definitely, you know, the home of people of wealth, but it's kind of in poor repair at this point. Definitely at the very least, you know, not recently dusted or anything like that. I mean, and you notice what you saw from the outside, the windows are all boarded up, so that's kind of odd, and there's holy symbols everywhere, like more so than even a pretty religious person would have. And you also notice, if you look to the right when you walk in, there is on the floor a rough-made coffin, and the top is open, and it does seem to have a body inside.
Okay.
May I ask why there's a coffin here? I'm gonna look towards the hosts.
Okay. Arena kind of looks oddly at Ismark and says, you didn't tell them this? And she turns back to you. I'm sorry Ismark failed to mention, but, our father, that's him, the burgomaster, he passed away, 2 days ago.
Like vampire stuff? Will's like, is that vampire related? Is he gonna turn into a vampire or something? What's the deal with that?
And when you mention that, she kind of gets a rage in her eyes a little bit, and she's like, well, yes, in a way. Indirectly, I suppose, as I said, and as you saw, we've been basically under siege here ever since Strahd has taken what seems to be, I guess I would say, an interest in me, and she kind of shudders at that. And it's been pretty much a living hell here, under attack, night after night, and eventually, all I can think is that the stress of it got to, she swallows, my poor father. And basically it seems like his heart gave out that night. We tried as best we could, but Ismark and I are not doctors, and to be honest, there really isn't one here in the village, though when it happened, neither of us would have been able to step foot out of the house anyway, and we weren't able to save him. And she kind of leans against Ismark, who puts an arm around her.
Sorry to hear that. Sorry for your loss.
So, we put this coffin together for him, and we would been wanting to give him a proper burial, but you know, the villagers aren't really taking too kindly to us after I've been basically marked as a target of that devil. And so we haven't had the help we've needed to be able to bear him to the church to give him the send-off that he deserves. And Nick says, that's terrible! I'm so, so sorry! And he turns to the rest of the group and he's like, would we be able to help with that, don't you think?
Yes. I think we could.
She sees that half the party seems to be willing to help. She kind of perks up when Nick first mentions that they could help. She wasn't even really asking. She says, I mean, I will say, and she kind of looks sidelong at Ismark, despite, you know, my brother's urgings, I I'm not going anywhere until my father is properly taken care of.
I'm going to take a side gander over at Ismark and go, is there anything else we should know tonight?
Right, yeah.
Just, I'm not trying to press you for information, but you asked us for help and to ask us for help with one thing and not reveal that there's this situation here too that's directly affecting it. I mean,
yes, I'm sorry, he says. I there's been quite a bit weighing on me. It's I'm not in the best frame of mind. I don't want to leave anything out. And he kind of drums his fingers against his chin and he says, well, I mean, upside is, ever since our father passed away, there have been no further attacks. Oddly enough, I don't know why. The last two nights have been basically quiet. Other than that, I would say that, I mean, if you are planning on staying here, I still have been keeping a watch. I think that would be wise. I don't know if you want to aid me with that, so that way we're all fresh tomorrow. You're not required to. I can certainly take that on myself. Otherwise,
yeah, I would say I would definitely say that we should have someone keeping a lookout, since the outside of your house looks like there was a wolf party and a fire party and a party that I just don't want to go to. So let's make sure that that party doesn't come here while we're trying to sleep here.
A watch in general is never a bad idea. So if anyone who wants to, I feel like we can take turns.
Okay. Yes, there's the spot that I'd like to take. I don't know if you noticed coming in, there's a balcony over the front door from the second floor, and it has a pretty good vantage of most of the city, or the town, rather. So that's usually where I've been keeping watch, get a pretty good view of the surrounding. The back of the house, unfortunately, can't really see much that way, but there's only so much you can do. But in terms of anything else to think of, I mean, the church is just basically up this street, about double the distance from the tavern to here, if you're willing to help bear our father there for his burial. It's certainly not far, it just wasn't something we could manage, and we didn't feel right dragging this coffin through the streets, though it probably would have come to that eventually. And Nick says, that's absolutely something we can help with, and we'll, of course, help you with the watch as well. There's plenty of us here. We can split that duty up enough between us, I think, and still I'll get a good night's rest with what remains of the night.
Agreed.
And Arena looks at Gorin and Will, who haven't really said much about the funeral march, basically. And she says, "Well, are you going to help
as
well, or?"
I'm in.
And you?
Such a dick. oh man, I kind of feel like Will would go over to check, because I don't know if he trusts their opinion, just died of natural causes, so I think he's gonna, if it's not too weird, I mean, in the midst of this talking, to kind of go over and look to see if it, because Will's seen a lot of dead people in his life for multiple reasons. So, just to look at...
Namely, what? Because he's into that shit.
No! Ew! No!
Oh, you were making fun of me and my gilfs last time, huh?
It's just one step further.
You're just one day after me, son!
Oh, no, that is not a character choice. I need to specify that. I am not into that.
Everybody just write it on your character sheet.
Now I'm going to write on my character sheet, not a necrophiliac, specifically.
Which means totally a necrophiliac.
If you have to specify it, there's something wrong. Yeah, so if he goes over, what does the body... Ugh. What does the body look like? Not that I'm actually... Katie,
well,
isn't that interesting.
Well, Gil Grissom, you can definitely tell. No, I don't know. It looks like a body that's 2 days dead, basically.
So, like, gross.
Probably, yeah. It's not like they have him on ice or anything like that.
Oh, God. So he's, like, dripping fluids or something. And again, this is one of my questions where I always ask, would my character know anything about vampires? Vampires are, like, pretty common, right? I mean, that's, like, a thing that we know about.
At the very least, you've heard, like, folk tales about them or nursery rhyme kind of. Not nursery rhymes, probably, but...
if I'm basing this on a general knowledge of, like, traditional Dracula-style vampires kind of thing, if he doesn't look, like, fresh, I think that's, like, kind of the thing, right? Like, a vampire in a coffin's gonna look like they're alive still, kind of. Not... like a dead corpse 2 days dead. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Will's checking out.
If you were to guess, I mean, he seems not nearly this far, but he's closer to, like, what came out of the ground in the house, in the death house with shovels and tried to kill you. More like that than, like, what Strahd was that you saw.
Okay. Yeah, it's just more like Will would be like, okay, I want to make sure that we're not here to be a treat for their dead vampire dad. So... as long as that looks that way, that he's okay, he'll be like, yeah, well, you know, you gotta bury that.
Yeah. And if you want to cop a fee while over there, you need to make a stealth check. You succeed. Gross. Nobody sees it.
Stop advancing this without my permission.
It's okay.
Of advancing.
That's what the court said.
No, it's okay. Nobody saw. It's fine.
Oh, I hate you so much.
Will said to the corpse.
You're gonna make me carry you, you fat jerk.
Look at you sitting here all tantalizing, and I'm in a room full of people. How dare you mock me?
No, I'm not gonna like this. This is gonna keep going. This is gonna be one of those things.
Unless you ride into the skin, this is absolutely how it's gonna go.
It's okay. It's Ravenloft. There's not much death and anything like that to encounter.
I guess, you know, see, you know, and we don't know what Ravenloft is, so good for you. Good joke for yourself.
There's a cult of mustachioed necrophiliacs you find out in the woods later on.
I founded that cult.
You walk in, they all just start bowing down to you.
You call them a cult, I just call them bro.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Will says that. He's like, yeah, well, you don't want that in your living room.
No, that's certainly true. Thank you all for being such kind souls and helping us in our time of need here. And Ismark says, well, it is late. I'm sure you all are in need of some definite rest, especially after what I'm sure you've been through. I will, like I said, take entire watch or the first watch or whatever you all would like to do is fine with me. I can show you all to the rooms that I prepared if you'd like. Come this way. And he starts up the stairs to the second floor.
All right, well... I feel like Will's going to want to be like, if they're walking upstairs to check out these rooms or whatever, you know, like as they're walking up kind of quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nick, we going to trust these people that we just met to watch over us and these crazy weirdos with their dead dad in the living room to watch over us?
I'm not sure who are the people we just met and who are the crazy weirdos. You might need to specify. Nick says, well, we have to trust someone, and, you know, after what we just experienced there in the street, I think we kind of need all the help we can get. So, the two people we met there in earlier seem to be of a certain caliber that I think we should try to ally ourselves with. Certainly, we can keep an eye on them, but they seem to be good, honest folk, at least at this point. As for the other two, well, they're the son of the dead burgomaster, which I guess would make one of them the new mayor, so to speak, of this village, so they might have some influence there as well.
Right, so, you know, mayors are super trustworthy, and he just rolls his eyes and keeps going up the stairs. You're right, because he's the mayor, I'm going to trust him now.
Nick puts his hands on his hips, cocks to the side, and says, oh, Will. All
right.
So you all go up, and Ismark shows you your different rooms. They all have beds in them, which is great.
What? Holy crap.
I mean, they all seem to be, not used very recently, probably pretty dusty, but, they seem to serve. And then he takes you all and shows you the balcony, which is what he had said, and if you'd noticed, it was above the front door. Just a small little place you can get to from a hallway up on the second floor. There's no access from below. And there's a chair out there that he's probably been using to watch from over the past few nights, ever since these attacks started. He turns and he says, how should we handle this?
I feel like whoever feels like doing watch, raise your hand, and then we can figure out shifts.
Nick would raise his hand.
My hand goes up.
Blank would too, but you may not see it.
Yeah, Will would say, yeah, I'll watch.
So, Ismark would say, okay, I'll take first watch.
And I'll then, go second.
Nick says, all right, then I'll go third. And Ismark says, all right, and then we'll, I guess, figure it out from there. Nick, you can wake up either Lank or Will, whoever you want. All right. And so Ismark settles down in his chair. He has a long sword that he has up there, and he kind of just places it on his lap. And I don't know about the rest of you, Nick heads off to the room that one of the rooms, they weren't, like, assigned. They don't have name tags on the door or anything like that. And he goes in. And that's the last you see of him. He's dead.
Oh, no. Can't joke about that. That usually happens in this game, apparently.
Who said I was joking?
Oh, no.
And Will was possessed by a sudden sense of arousal.
No!
A new corpse on this floor.
I can taste it.
Oh, guys. Oh, no.
My necrosense is tingling.
That's what I call my penis.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go to my room and hide from the corpse sexing.
I
hate everyone.
It's hard to decide what's worst, if it's the smell or the sound.
The sound. It's always the sound.
Oh.
What about the two of you? Where do you go?
I would pick a room and walk into my room.
I'm gonna burn down the fucking house.
All right.
They're all asleep. Finally, it's Will's turn.
Let's make a few new corpses.
They're nice and crispy, just the way I like them.
I love me a freshly baked corpse.
Some people like sushi. I like barbecue.
This is disgusting. Oh, okay.
Okay. And so the night begins to pass. Does everybody try to go to sleep? Is that what everybody's doing?
Yeah, why not? A little bit.
Until I get summoned to watch.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Will would not easily go to sleep. I don't think he trusts Ismark to watch them and doesn't really trust almost anybody in this house. So I think that he is up and kind of, for a while, trying to figure out whether he wants to check out his locket again. He kind of picks it up again and sees if anything happens.
Okay. Roll a percentile die.
Okay. 30 and a 2. 32?
So, what happens is...
Please don't make me have sex with a corpse.
What do you mean, make
I don't
you?
Think he has to make you.
Yeah, exactly. No.
That's Will speaking to his penis.
You mean his necrosense.
I'm going to delete all of this. Everyone.
We know.
kidding. It's like, the whole episode is just tiny. Like,
it's barely a YouTube clip. It's just a gif of Katie being mad.
All right. So you're kind of looking at your locket, and nothing really happens. But then you kind of get this weird sense, like something is looking over your shoulder. You don't hear anything. You just kind of feel like something is behind you.
All right. I turn around really quickly and try to see if something's behind me.
All right. You turn around, you whip around, and there's nothing there.
Do I still get the sense that someone's behind me?
No, you don't.
Sweet.
Basically, there's just a wall. There's really not really much space for something to be behind you. But then when you turn back around, the swirly man is inches from your face.
Oh my god, that is really scary. Is it the girl from The Grudge? That's just what it sounds like.
Yes, it's the swirly grudge. And he goes,
no, stop! What nice. Is this early 2000s reference?
I've never seen that movie.
I know you haven't.
But I know that sound. And you jump.
Right, yeah, I jump. If I'm by the wall, I'll whip around and probably smack my head on the wall. Like, jump back and be like, ah!
And he goes, boo! Hi, Will!
Hi.
Hello! Miss me?
No!
No?
No.
How's it going?
This is terrible. This is not...
What's terrible?
All of it.
Your newfound powers? Show me something.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Come on. I know what you can do. I know all of what you can do. Show me something.
Well, yeah, you know. So why should I even... Why? What's the point of me showing you that? That's...
Because it'd be fun.
We'll just kind of, if the guy's like really close to him, he's just sliding along the wall and kind of walking across the room after he gets a safe distance away.
Yeah. He looks at you and said, I see you've been playing with your locket there, huh? Didn't your mom tell you not to do that?
Good one. Well, just trying to figure it out. I don't know. Something weird happened in the bar. Why are you here? I don't know.
I just thought we should have a little chat. It's been a while since we first spoke. Wanted to see how things were going for you.
Bad. I said that already. Bad.
What? What's wrong? You seem fine. Well,
I took this carriage to get here, and now there's all kinds of crazy shit happening.
Right.
Why am I here? I don't want to be here. This is terrible. This is terrible town.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Don't worry. We're just catching up. It's not been that bad so far. You haven't died?
Right. Except that I could have been carried away by bats or eaten by rats.
Could you have?
Yeah. Because my magic didn't do crap. To him or to the rat. Like, I just shot nothing. I didn't do anything.
Maybe you should be practicing a little bit more. Like, right now. Show me something. Go! And he points at your feet and a bolt of energy shoots out, like, right between your feet.
Oh, like...
Hits the floor.
Oh, God. Like, making me dance cowboy style?
Exactly.
Okay. No! Ah! He jumps and...
Can we hear this little hoedown going on?
What's your passive perception?
Well, that's a rather personal question, but let me look. That would be 11 total.
You don't hear anything. You are sleeping, or if you're not sleeping, you still don't hear anything.
Okay.
Okay. And the swirly man, if I remember correctly, is... just kind of swirly mist or mist. I don't remember. Not mist. I'm not going to use that word because there's too many mists. He's like swirly.
Kind of like smoky, purpley.
So he's not wearing clothes or anything.
It just looks like swirly, misty stuff. He's kind of in the vague, not even shape. Like, it doesn't have like arms or anything, but it's basically from floor to like person height and kind of that width. So it like, this smoke kind of takes up the space that a person would, if you know what
I mean. Does he have facial features?
No.
Okay. So if he shot me and I'm a shot at my feet and was trying to basically threaten me, I think Will would oblige. And he, but just because he's like, I think he just kind of points at the bed nearby. Maybe he's by the bed. Uh-huh. He just like points at the quilt and kind of turns it into a shade of green or something. Just there. Just like the lamest.
And you hear applause. He doesn't, you don't physically see him clap. And he, and the smoke dives as if a person were to dive on the bed and kind of bounces like on it. Like if someone were to like leap onto a bed, like onto their back and bounce on the comforter. And then right back to where he was standing. Like if you filmed someone bouncing on a bed and then reverse the film. So like it doesn't look like he kind of like got back up.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like it looks weird. Like it doesn't look physically right, basically, when he goes right to back to where he was standing. Mm-hmm. Says, that was nice. That was nice. Good, good. Well, I think you should be practicing more, to be honest. You know, it's the only way you're going to get better. Need you to be in good fighting shape, Will.
Okay.
You know what I think would help? How about that locket? How about you put that locket on? I'm assuming you're holding it at this point, unless you put it back.
Okay, I mean, I keep it in my breast pocket. Like, I have a vest under my kind of my suit coat. Mm-hmm. That's where I keep it. If he was taking it... Okay, so he wants me to put it on?
Well, he said put it on, so I would assume he wants you to put it on.
All right, dick! All right. Well, he probably doesn't have much experience putting a necklace on himself, so he probably fumbles around as he's doing it, but he puts it on obediently because he's kind of nervous.
I think that'll help you get more in tune with what I've imbued you with, basically. I think that's going to really help you out.
It's a woman's locket. Do I really have to wear it?
And he says, I told you to put it on. And as he says that, the chain of the locket shrinks.
Oh.
Around your neck. And it kind of starts, like, gets tighter and tighter, and it starts actually kind of cutting into your skin a little bit.
Oh.
You can still breathe and everything, but it is tight.
Okay.
Got Boy. It?
Toy, like a toyger.
I couldn't help it, I'm sorry.
No, that's the best. I love it so much.
He says, if you don't think that's a good idea, maybe I can make it a little toiter.
No. Will's just, he holds his hands up and he's like, no.
Good. And it goes back to its regular length. And he says, I know that you met one of your little buddies there that, you know, is going to be able to help you out back in the bar. You remember?
The thing on the shelf?
Mm-hmm. The thing? That's a bit disrespectful. I think you know who that was, don't you?
No.
I think you know.
Was that real? Let's not... Oh, man. That
Lily,
was real?
Was that real? You're shooting energy out of your fingers. A vampire just took away one of your friends with a cloud of bats, and you're asking if this creature is real? That's the only thing you're questioning right now? I think it's pretty safe to assume that either everything is real or nothing is real, Will.
But see, nobody saw it. I was the only one that saw it.
That's special just for you. That, I mean, actually, he's kind of fun. He can be invisible either to everyone or to everybody but you, if he wants, or if you want. You're in charge of him. He'll do what you say.
Okay.
Though he may not like it. But you know who he is, right? You know. Who is he?
I don't like
Say
this.
Say it. Say his name. Say his name, bitch.
I feel like if Gordon were listening, he'd be ticking off signs of an abusive relationship. Taking them off as it goes along.
Will, like, really... kind of quietly just says, Frederick.
That's right. Frederick, aren't you happy? You reunited after he died.
Yeah.
Because of you.
No.
So now you get to meet him again.
No.
And you get to feel your regret even more strongly.
This isn't fun. You sound like you're having fun. This isn't fun.
It's fun. Come on, family brought back together. And you know, there's some other family members that you haven't gotten to see in quite some time. I think if you focused hard enough, you might find yourself encountering one or more of them.
Sounds like I don't want to focus hard enough, maybe.
I think you might find that you want to. I think they'll give you a bit of help. Next time, you know, really think about what you're trying to do now that you know that's, you know, a possibility that's out there. Really focus really hard. And I think you'll find you'll have a bit more control over the situation next time. They all won't look like Frederick. That's his special guise. You'll find some surprises if you seek out some of your other siblings.
When do I get to go home?
Oh, that's quite a ways off, Will. That's quite a ways off.
What?
No. In fact, you might want to consider Barovia here your home.
No!
You might want to.
Place sucks so much!
You know what, Will? You have a special talent for taking things that suck and making them your own.
Is that a compliment, or is that, like, the meanest thing? Oh, I don't even know.
Will, I've chosen you. Everything I say to you is a compliment. My presence here is a compliment to you.
Is it? Okay. He, like, says that out loud, and then he's like, okay, wish I didn't say that out loud.
Look, I'll fill you in a little bit on why I've got you here. There's no sense in being so mysterious about everything. Basically, why I want you here, this place is unique, Barovia, I think you could agree. And Strahd, who you've met by now, this is his. But he didn't get it all on his own. He had some help. There's some dark forces that gave him the power he needed to make this his own. But you know what? I want this place, and you're going to help me get it.
You can't get it yourself?
No, I can't. But you can.
This place doesn't seem... Man, there's so many other places that
Will,
seem so much better.
Will, stop.
Yeah. Mm.
Your destiny now is to take Strahd's place.
No!
Yes.
Wait.
Yes. This is the favor I'm asking you. I helped you out before.
What does that mean? What does that mean? I don't want that.
But I want that for you, and trust me, I think you'll see you just got here. You haven't even seen the scope of what this place is and what it means. You have sought out wealth, power, and you'll find that here in Barovia, you'll find that and more.
There's nothing here. There's nothing here. There is literally one bar. And
I'm not talking about this village, store. This village of Barovia. It's confusing. I don't know why he named it this. This village of Barovia is in the land of Barovia.
Okay.
You've heard of Valaki. Valaki is part of Barovia. You see that magnificent castle? The throne in there, you will sit upon.
No, no. Wait, what?
You will.
Wait a second. But...
That's why I've put you here. Strahd thinks he brought you here, but I sent you down the right path.
Will's, like, quietly contemplating this because he's not sure. Throne, you said?
Mm-hmm. Throne? I did.
Throne. I didn't have a throne, but, you know, I have pretty sweet...
What?
I can't get back to where I know, like, I can't.
Sorry, you seem a bit unsure. You feeling uncomfortable? You need some comfort. And as he's saying this, his voice is suddenly changing. There, Billy. And the voice sounds like now the voice of your mother.
Ah! Oh! No! You are wrong! You are... He's just like staring. No!
No, Billy, it's okay. And you blink, and when you like, just from normal, unless Will doesn't blink, but I think he does. when a blink ends, your mother is standing there where the swirly man was.
No.
And then she's in the
Eric. What the fuck is happening right now?
She's in the nightgown that she used to wear, that, you know, from you remember as a kid, and she holds her arms out to you. She's like, Billy, come here. It's okay.
No, you are not my mother. This is clearly something out of a horror movie. I don't say that because movies
William,
don't exist.
William Pumpkin, do not talk to your mother like this.
I don't know what to do. No. And he just stands and shakes his head really like,
And it looks like your mother is speaking to you, but it's with the swirly man's voice again. And he says, oh, maybe that's not the kind of comfort you wanted. And your mother...
It's you! It's you!
Your mother drops her nightgown and she's naked.
What? No!
Meanwhile, Gordon and Lake are at the door with glass cups. Like,
this is so demented! Oh my god, Eric! What kind of DM are you? This is so demented. Holy shit!
And she says, come here, Billy.
Oh my god! And Will, she starts... jumps out the fucking window. He killed himself. He jumps out the fucking window and kills himself. Well,
this is an internal room, so there are no windows.
Oh, no! No.
Billy, what's wrong?
Will turns away.
I know I'm not a corpse, but, I mean, come on.
I hate you. No, he turns away. He won't look at that. He's like, nope. This is... so terrible.
And then suddenly you feel some hands wrapping around your waist from behind and starting to reach down your pants.
No. He, like, gets away, runs away. What is this? Am I playing D&D right now? What the fuck is happening?
are you Raven Soft or Raven Hard? Right
He, like, flicks the art. I mean, if he is able, I don't know if it's, like, gripping me in a vice grip, but he's, like, flicks the arms away and, like, runs across the room
to flick the arms away, there's nothing there.
Oh, great. Funny.
And if you look around, there's nobody in the room.
Any chance we heard that?
And then we will cut to Gorin. Gorin, you hear a knock on the door. Whether you were
I'm gonna quickly put two letters back in a pocket and we get up and answer.
Okay, it's Ismark. It's been, you know, the right amount of time since watch.
All right, well, thank you kindly.
Of course, thank you. But you do not owe me any thanks. Things have been quiet. I hope and expect that they will be continuing from now. But good luck.
All right, try to rest.
Thank you. I will try. That's very well said.
I'm gonna walk over and take my place with my bow out.
Cool. And you know, for a good part of your portion of the watch, you don't notice anything. It's a very, very quiet village. Nothing really going on at all. But maybe about 45 minutes in, let's say, make a perception check.
I rolled a 15. My perception is 2, so 17.
Okay. So the balcony kind of looks basically down the street that you came from. And you see, because you're keeping a good watch, you're very vigilant, you notice some motion kind of out of the corner of your eye from, looks like, beyond one of the buildings on the right side of the street. And it does catch your eye. And so you kind of train your eye there, and then you see what looks like, from what you can tell from here and then in the dark, a smallish woman with long dark hair slip from between two buildings. She's not running, but she's definitely moving with purpose. She's looking around, kind of looks like as if someone were to make sure she's not being followed, and makes her way towards the house where you are. Not directly towards you, kind of like towards the side. You can see okay. That she's carrying a mace. And both of these things look very familiar to you. It's very hard to say, again, with your distance and, you know, the darkness and whatnot, but you're looking intently, and you could think that based on the way she's dressed, what she's carrying, her hair and all of that, her size, it looks like it could be Anna.
Oh, Anna. No. Now it's my turn to be fucked with.
As you're watching, she goes basically to the side of the house, to the right side of the house if you're facing out from the balcony, and around the corner, at which point you lose sight of her because you're on the balcony. It doesn't wrap around. It's just a small balcony kind of right above the front door.
Right. I'm going to keep my bow in my hand. I'm going to yell from the balcony. What ho? Why not? It's D&D.
Don't call her a ho, D. What ho?
Oh, I'll call my demons what I want, goddammit.
Do you say that before or after she gets around the corner of the house?
When I see her getting fairly close to the corner, that's okay. What I'm going to yell. I'm like, hey, like, in a simultaneous attempt to get her attention, and then kind of, like, hope that, like, someone behind me can hear that, like, there's some commotion.
Got
feasibly.
It. Okay. So pretty loud. You're not shy about it. Got it.
No, it's me.
So Jose yells. So Gorn yells. The figure doesn't look up, doesn't seem to even notice that you said anything. But let's see. I mean, it's loud enough. Pretty much everybody hears you yell. Nick would rush out of his room.
Yeah.
And say, what ho? What's wrong?
Yeah, Will would come out too. Am I allowed to?
Yeah, sure.
Has my thing happened already?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he comes out ready to be around someone who's not
everybody,
doing that shit.
Everybody notices Will's giant erection.
Oh my god!
Passive perception my ass!
Lank does hear it as well.
Lank comes out of the room, wiping the sleep from his eyes, and looks to Will and says, I sure am glad nothing strange or awkward happened while we were asleep.
Will just starts crying.
Nick would say, Gorin, what's wrong?
I think there might be someone on the side of the house. If someone could take the balcony for me while I go down and check.
Will okay. would.
Cool. All right. Good. I'll come with you, says Nick.
And I'll go with Will, says Lank.
Just keep some distance behind me. I've got the bow out. So, but yeah, good. Have my back. Great.
All right. Ismark's with you too. And he says, well, there's the front and the back door. Which way was the person going? Which way should we head?
I feel like they were going towards the back, but why don't you be safe, Ismark, and why don't you go towards the front? You know the house better than anybody else, right?
All right, I'll circle around. Which way did this person go?
Left.
Got it. So Ismark goes that way. Nick goes with you, Gorin.
Mm-hmm.
And you head out the back door. Lank and Will, you're on the balcony, but everything seems quiet. You hear the door beneath you open up, and you see Ismark come out the door. And look around and head around the corner of the house.
Okay.
Gorin and Nick, you open the back door, which is kind of directly parallel. Like it, mm-hmm. Basically, if you draw a line from the front door, it goes out the back door. And you come out in what looks like was once a pretty nice kind of courtyard. The house is big enough. It actually kind of has two wings that extend to the left and the right. So bordering this kind of courtyard on three sides, the left and the right, and then the door, which you came from, that part of the house. In the middle is a fountain, which is kind of dried up. And past the fountain, Gorin, you see the same figure with its back to you, just kind of standing there.
I'm going to look back at Nick and go, hey, stay here and wait to see if it comes from the other side. I'm going to run over to the back over here and check, okay?
Okay.
And I'm just going to dash towards the figure.
Okay. You dash up to the figure, and she's just standing there still with your back to you. Her back to you doesn't move.
Anna? Is it you?
Nothing. No movement, no sound.
Who are you? I want an answer.
No movement, no sound.
I'm going to keep one hand behind. Oh, no, I've got my bow out. I'm chilling. I'm going to put my other hand on the figure's shoulder. One last time, who are you?
And as you put your hand on her shoulder, the figure turns around, and suddenly it doesn't look like Anna at all. It's basically you're looking into the face of death, and it looks like what you out of character know as a zombie. It's this melted away kind of face, jaw half torn off, and it lunges at you. And everybody needs to roll initiative.
Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review on iTunes and feel free to visit porkfrieddice.com to find links to us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to join us next week to find out what happens to your favorite adventurers as they muddle their way through our demented mindscapes.